Good morning. I'd like to call this California Coastal Commission meeting of Friday, May 13th, to order. Staff, would you please call the roll?
Commissioner Allgood. Commissioner Wickett.
Here.
Commissioner Bloom.
Here.
Commissioner Brennan.
Here.
Commissioner Mercurimi.
Here.
Commissioner Mitchell.
Here.
Commissioner Schellenberger.
Here.
Commissioner Stone.
Here.
Vice Chair Sanchez.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. And staff, would you please address any changes to the agenda?
Yes, good morning, Madam Chair and Commissioners. Changes to the agenda, there's one. On page 12, item 9A, the City of Santa Cruz Beach Management Plan is postponed. For members of the public that are here today that may wish to speak, you do need to fill out a speaker slip and indicate which item you're speaking to. And also, if you could please turn off your cell phones or put them into a silent mode, that would be appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. And I have no request to speak on public comment, period.
Madam Chair, before we begin with the regular agenda, as
yes, Mr. Douglas,
as you noticed, this meeting has turned into a much shorter meeting than we had anticipated. And Susan and I were talking over the last few days about how we can change our procedures so that we can, at the last minute, which would be at least 10 days before, when we have a late mailing, can change the meeting schedule. When we know things have pulled off that we thought were going to be on, that would have taken 3 days, but with their removal from the agenda, would allow us to conduct the meeting in 2 days. There are some logistics problems. We're usually locked in at the hotels, and so we're going to be working on how we can get past that. And when we have had 2 days of meetings, they're usually two full days, and the result is that some commissioners stay the second day, the night of the second day anyway. So I think there's a way that we can do that, and we need to do that, because this has happened now a few times in the last year, and obviously it costs us money that we could do well to save. So we'll look at it for the next meeting. For example, I already have some indications that some big items are not going to be on the agenda next month. We were thinking of a four-day meeting, but now I think 3 days for sure at this point.
Okay.
Could be with some major postponements, 2 days. Also, the July meeting, we could not find a place in San Francisco because there's a semiconductor conference and they've taken all the hotels in the area. So we're going to be back here in Santa Rosa in July. So bring your bathing suits. Any other announcements?
No.
That's it, Madam Chair.
Thank you, and I do know that, we all know that staff continues to work with the applicants and other representatives of the agenda items straight up until the meeting, and things change even up to the night before. So any comments by commissioners? Commissioner Brennan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I might, Peter, and thank you for that update. In terms of the public noticing process, I mean, while an applicant, that's something we'd have to deal with also, wouldn't it? I mean, we all know there's folks that come from different directions that maybe haven't, are not part of the permit but want to appeal it or do something along that
right.
line. So that becomes somewhat difficult to manage, I would assume, under the auspices of public. So imagine staff will...
We'll get guidance from council, obviously, but the logistical problem is that we don't just send out notices from the headquarters office. From the district offices, they send out information to the people who want to be informed and want to follow a certain item. And so having an item number and a date is really important for that, as well as our mailing, which serves the legal noticing requirements. So there are a number of logistical issues, but that's why we've got to work it through. And you know, putting a proviso right at the front saying, you know, the meeting times and schedule may change, so, you know, pay attention, that kind of thing. Anyway, we're working on it, and those are all issues we're going to have to address. But I think we need to do it.
So possibly you'll open a Twitter account, and people could sign up, and you could let them. I mean, it does make – I mean, we should take advantage of the
– People following –
I'm just wondering if we're set up to do that somehow, but it would certainly be a wonderful opportunity to advance some of these things.
It's funny that you should say that. We have spent quite a bit of time on thinking about social media and how we can do a better job explaining what the commission does, how we do our work, and when and where we meet, and what the public can do to participate. Most public participation these days is through the internet watching us. Mm-hmm. But we talked about that, and because we're a quasi-judicial legal body, governmental body, it's not as easy as it is if you're a corporation, private business, or an individual.
Right.
So it's complicated for a state agency. But those are all things we're going to have to look at and explore.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Commissioner Mitchell?
I just want to say thank you for addressing this, because this has been a concern of mine since I actually got on the commission. And I'm not sure, I mean, obviously you guys are working it out logistically, but I know that people, you know, follow the agenda based on the day that things are on, but I'm not clear as to why we couldn't just have an agenda that starts on Wednesday and has, you know, an item number that goes until whatever day, you know, goes, that isn't day specific. And I'm not sure legally why that's an issue, because I know in other hearings, if you know something gets to, if you know a hearing has to end and it gets brought over to the next day, there's still a public notice, and that, you know, happens. So
yeah, well, we have talked about that in the past, and by the way, the reason that we cranked up our intensity on this issue was because of my dreaming about you talking about this.
Oh, I was going to say, you're stealing my thunder, Peter.
She wants my
nice.
But we have talked about that, and the problem is that you do have people that come, you know, from some distance, because the meetings are spread around, and who expect it to be on a certain day, and changing it, has, we've been advised, does run into legal problems. We can start something, you know, have something on one day and trail it to the end of that day. If we trail it to the next day, it can really be, I don't think there's a legal problem with it, but there certainly is a perception problem, and what it does to members of the public who may be here for that, and then they have to arrange to stay another day. But I believe legally that's doable, but we just haven't used that as a practice. Rarely have we had to use it, and that's under unusual circumstances, and nobody objects, and we're able to solve it and handle it at the same meeting. But that's another thing we'll be discussing with council, to see what are all our options to deal with this issue effectively.
Again, I appreciate it, and you know, my issue is access for the public. I completely get that, but also, you know, making this as efficient as possible in the current times that we're in, it's, you know, it seems crazy, and it's $10,000 a day, you know, on average for everyone to stay over. So I just it concerns me. So thank you so much.
Commissioner Allgood.
I'm a unitasker. I can't multitask. Yeah, in talking with Billy a couple nights ago, he mentioned the option, particularly for workshops, of having remote locations participate by Skype. And on the workshop we had this session, I think that would have been a great benefit to make that available to anybody who wanted to watch. I know it's on the web, and they can watch it on the web in real time, but there is an option, I believe, and if you wouldn't mind commenting, of having participations and questions done via video, via Skype. And I think that could be of great benefit. and it would save the general public and other interested parties a lot of expense. It may in fact be affordable to do within our budget. But I think one of the powers of this commission is people do pay attention to it. It is hard for people to get to places like Eureka if they live in San Diego and vice versa. But there is that interest there. And I know we have a schedule of workshops coming forward that we want to have the widest possible audience. So, Billy, if you could maybe speak to what those capabilities are, you need to come.
Billy did talk to me about this yesterday, I believe it was, and indicated that they're going to have a workshop for state agencies to explain how this works. And I certainly want to find out more about it. And for workshops, I think that may work. It may also work for items that we have on the agenda where we need technical expertise input. Like we've done it once with Dr. Dixon participating on the phone. It was very unsatisfactory, needless to say, because then commissioners want to ask questions and you want to see, you can't see what's going on. So as he's talking, the commissioners may be shaking their heads and saying, you know, we're not interested in that, and he doesn't see it. It became, it wasn't a good experience, so we didn't repeat it. But with Skype, that's a little different because you do have the visual presence there too. So we're going to look into that for purposes of a workshop. I don't think it can work for a item on our agenda that you have to act on because it's a regulatory matter. And again, that's another issue we're going to talk about. So I didn't mean to steal your thunder, Billy, but you covered it pretty effectively yesterday. And we are going to look into it because if we can save money that way and improve participation, then we ought to do it.
Thank you.
I think that's a fantastic idea, and I really think it would help burnish the commission's image if we were to take the lead on something like this. And I would like to suggest that it's just unimaginable to me that there aren't grant funds out there somewhere that could help implement a new technology program. So I'd like to encourage you to look into that. And on a somewhat lighter note, as far as Twitter is concerned, although some would disagree, I think that asking people to whittle down their thoughts to 140 characters or less is an exercise in restraint that is useful for, you know, for me and for a lot of other folks out there. At Richard Bloom, by the way. Had to throw that in.
Sorry, my mic was on.
Well, 140 characters, that would be impossible for your staff.
That's right.
Okay. And it does seem that perhaps doing it, introducing it incrementally to the meetings might be helpful to see how to kind of see how it can work. So thank you very much. I still do not have any requests to speak on general items, so we'll go to the next item, which is energy, ocean resources, and federal consistency. Staff?
Yes, good morning, commissioners. Again, I don't believe there is a report for the Energy Ocean Resources Division, so that would bring us to the Central Coast District. And under the Deputy Director's report, I do have some minor items to report and one slide that I wanted to show you about the emergency permit that we're reporting. We have three de minimis waivers, one immaterial amendment, and one immaterial extension reported, and I'm not aware of any objections to those items.
Thank you. Are there any ex-parte communications to report? Seeing none, any objections to concurrence with the Executive Director's determination with respect to the Deputy Director's report? Commissioner Brennan?
Madam Chair, I just wanted a quick comment on it. But
If I may just comment first on that item. This is an emergency permit that we're reporting on today that has been issued, and some of you may have heard this is a massive landslide in southern Big Sur on Highway 1, and you can just see the scale of it there. You see some trucks down there on the highway on either side of that slide. That gives you a sense of how big that slide is. We issued an emergency permit, and Caltrans is currently doing some preliminary logistical work and grading to enable themselves to actually begin working on this slide. They will be removing material and taking it to landside pre-approved sites for disposal, but that probably is not going to be able to address the entire slide, and they're continuing to look at options for disposal over the edge and into the marine environment potentially. You can see it's already in the marine environment naturally. But we've been continuing a dialogue with Caltrans and the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary about how to best dispose of this material and protect marine resources. And just a little bit of background, we did work a few years back on a coast highway management plan, which was a multi-stakeholder effort with Caltrans and the sanctuary and others with respect to anticipating these kinds of problems and how to handle the materials so that we could maximize resource protection but also keep the highway open, because obviously this is a tremendous public access resource as well as a public infrastructure important to the residents of Big Sur. So I wanted to just give you that background. I don't really have any idea when this might be open. It's a massive undertaking.
Well, and I think the task force, the multi-agency work that was done, and Charles was a little modest about that. I think we played a key role in that. Because what was happening was Caltrans was just pushing materials, landslide materials, into the ocean. And that's a marine sanctuary, and that was ran into real problems with the sanctuary as well as with us, because they needed a permit for the work. So having this planning effort and identifying areas that were appropriate for landside disposal of landslide materials was a really great step in the right direction. And we've utilized that a number of times, and it's being utilized here. So as an alternative to ocean disposal, it's a landside disposal. To go back to the energy item for just a minute, I forgot to mention that Mr. Faust, when he was here in public comment on Wednesday, indicated that he had some concerns about what was happening in Carlsbad relative to the new plant, power plant, and the issue of whether or not it was coastally dependent. We are looking into that. The issue that that we're confronted with is not so much coastal dependency, but at the time that the Coastal Act was passed, needless to say, the utilities were very opposed, as they were to Proposition 20 and the previous legislative attempts to pass a coastal protection bill. The compromise we worked out with the utilities was that there would be no new power plants along the California coast until the Coastal Commission did a study of the entire coast to identify where new power plants might be sited. In any event, the existing sites for power plants were to be set aside for expansion of power plants. The study was completed. The commission didn't identify any new sites along the coast, so that's now prohibited. No new power plant sites, but expansion at existing sites. You've run into this in other instances, Ormond Beach, for example, and it's going to be, and it's an issue at Carlsbad, because it is an existing site. So it's not so much the coastal dependency, it's that compromise that was reached, and that's part of the Coastal Act. So we'll report back to you at the next meeting.
Thank you, and I did see Commissioner Brennan wish to speak.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to, Peter, thanks for clearing up the slide issue. Wearing one of my other local hats, I sit on a JPA that basically tries to keep sediment coming back to the ocean whenever and wherever possible. I'm wondering, we're doing landside disposal of this sediment, and of course, if it wasn't a marine protected area and if there wasn't a road there, that landslide might occur at some time, and it would have just naturally appeared there, and that sediment would go into the system to feed the beaches and do the things that it needed to do. And in terms of bringing this forward, because I see this happen a lot with Caltrans, and I see it happen a lot with the railroad, basically right on the coast, you can actually basically bit from the railroad tracks to the ocean, but we end up taking all the sediment somewhere else, inland, and it's crying to get where it needs to go as all our beaches are starved for sand. Are permits easily attained? Is that part of the reason, because it's an emergency and we need to dispose of it quickly so landside makes sense, or because we don't have time to study the biology that's there, the marine biology?
No, it's quite complicated. And you're right, landslides have occurred, for eons here. However, because we have learned so much about the fragility and the sensitivity of the ecosystem in the intertidal area here, and the fact that, our activities here have made a difference, like cutting a road in at the toe of the slope may have exacerbated the slide. So I think we all came to the conclusion that in this instance and along Big Sur Coast, where we're not concerned about beach sand replenishment, that it's really better for the environment to find land sites for it. In other instances, it may be appropriate for beach disposal if the materials are suitable. They're not always suitable. In this instance, I don't know how fine the dirt is, but often the fineness of the grains can smother a whole benthic ecology. So Charles may want to add to this, but that's basically where we're coming.
Just a little bit more on this particular case. As I mentioned, we're working closely with the sanctuary, and they have divers. They've had divers out there looking at the specific marine environment. But you are correct that in the other direction has been this notion that sand is moving naturally into the marine environment often. And in fact, in other places, like in Waddell Bluffs in northern Santa Cruz County, there's a regular slide there at Highway 1. Material comes off routinely. We have an ongoing 5-year permit with Caltrans issued by the commission that allows them to move the material from the landward side of the highway. They have a fence there that retains it. Then every year they move it to the ocean side, and then they gradually push it over into the marine environment, and it replenishes that beach environment at Waddell State Park. And that's been that was extensively studied by a scientist at Moss Landing at the Marine Lab, and we were able to approve that as a sort of an authorized movement of what would have been the natural movement of that material. So we have done that.
No, I appreciate you knowing that that's in place. There's no doubt about it. The only thing that comes up is, the grain sizes, when we measure it here, because we measure it, says, it's not compatible with the ocean. But 100 years ago, it was compatible with the ocean. And that's what I know we come up with in a lot of these instances. But I'm glad to know we have our filters that we're pushing it through. And just trying to remind Caltrans that there are opportunities, certainly down maybe South Central Coast, to take advantage of that. And I know the railroad doesn't believe they need to be part of this discussion, but every chance we get, hopefully they can. Thank you for your patience, Board. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Commissioner Bloom.
Just a quick follow-up on that. Is the environmental footprint of trucking all that sand somewhere else part of the equation?
Yes, absolutely. And residential stakeholders were at the table when we did the management plan as well. And so all of the various aspects involved with where you're going to move a bunch of material and what the impacts are were addressed.
Great. I assume so. Thank you.
Thank you. Staff has recommended that the commission concur with the executive director's determination. Any objection? Seeing none, the commission hereby concurs.
Thank you. That brings us to an LCP amendment, item 7 in San Luis Obispo County, and this is a fairly straightforward request by the county to rezone or redesignate some land in the land use plan to an agricultural designation. The larger parcel being addressed is in and outside the coastal zone. Only about a quarter of it is in the coastal zone in the vicinity of Pismo Beach and a place called Crag Canyon, and we are recommending that it be approved as submitted. This would result in an increased level of protection for this land in question moving from rural lands to an agricultural designation. And we believe it's appropriate in this case. And so we are recommending approval as submitted.
Thank you. Any ex parte communications to report? Seeing none, I have no request to speak by the public. So Commission, is there a motion? Anyone wishing to speak? Commissioner Stone.
I move that the Commission certify Major Amendment Number 1-11, Part 2 to the San Luis Obispo County Local Coastal Program Land Use Plan as submitted by the County of San Luis Obispo and ask for a yes vote.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Stone, seconded by Commissioner Brennan. Passage of the motion will result in certification of the land use plan amendment as submitted and adoption of the resolutions and findings. Any other desires to speak, address this issue? Seeing none, any objection to unanimous vote of yes? Seeing none, then the Commission hereby unanimously certifies Major Amendment Number 1-11, Part 2, to the San Luis Obispo County Local Coastal Program Land Use Plan as submitted by San Luis Obispo County and adopts the findings set forth on the grounds that the amendment conforms to the policies of Chapter 3 of the Coastal Act.
Thank you. Item 8A is a new appeal in San Luis Obispo County, and this is an appeal of 5 wind monitoring stations that have been proposed for a 2-year period in the Oceano Dunes Recreational Vehicle Area in San Luis Obispo. And we are recommending that a substantial issue exists here. The appellant has raised issues with environmentally sensitive habitat protection as well as visual resource issues. And that's not my slide, but that works. this is the view of the area, and you can see up there 5 green dots. Those are the locations of the proposed air monitoring stations, S1, S2, and O1 and O2 are located within designated environmentally sensitive habitat under the LCP. The 5th one over on the Cal Fire Station is in an urban area outside the park and does not raise any substantial issues with respect to LCP compliance. However, the other 4 proposed locations do, and in fact, S1 station has already been constructed and is being pursued locally as a permitting matter. So we are recommending substantial issue again, and if there's any interest in discussion, we would need 3 or more commissioners wanting to discuss substantial issue. Otherwise, you will have found that and opened and continued the hearing to a later date.
Thank you. Are there 3 or more commissioners that wish to hold a hearing on the question of substantial issue? Seeing none. The Commission hereby finds that Appeal Number A-3-SLO-11-021 presents a substantial issue with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed under Section 30603 of the Coastal Act regarding consistency with the San Luis Obispo County Certified Local Coastal Program.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Just being new to the ex parte on this item, is there?
If there was a hearing, then I would have requested at the ex parte communications.
Ah, yeah. Thank you. Another lesson learned. Thank you all. It happened within the 7 days.
But
send it.
You can file it now because it's going to come back as a regular hearing.
Thanks, David. Thank you.
The last item that was postponed, the Commission had asked for a report on the use of the violation remediation account monies that go to the Coastal Conservancy. And Susan Hanch had been working with Sam Schuchat at the Coastal Conservancy to make this presentation to you today. And as Susan indicated in her email to you, because of all the budget matters that you can now have my phone. I did not. Sorry, Charles. I didn't listen to you. Oh, I usually listen to him.
It was very
soothing. It was kind of a nice little.
But yeah, timing. Susan did indicate that she wanted to do this here today, but she just couldn't get to it with the budget matters, and so it was postponed. And because there are a number of commissioners who had asked for this report who are not here today, it's kind of fortuitous that it's going to come back at a subsequent meeting. So that completes our agenda for today, and have a good trip back, and I'll see you next month in Marina Del Rey.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just to reiterate that in July, it will be not in San Francisco as it is currently noticed on the web.
Yeah.
It will be back here in lovely Santa Rosa.
Right. We'll have to change. We should change that on the web.
Thank you. This meeting is adjourned.
It should have been changed already, but sorry.
This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.